Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN and the Steelers Radio Network. And it's Season 7, Episode 91, and free agency around the league. Maybe we've seen the last of the bigger names go off the board here over the last couple days, Dave. The world has changed their focus, obviously, to the NCAA tournament for the next 72 hours. Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert were down at the Clemson Pro Day yesterday, so there wasn't any activity at the Steeler UPMC Rooney facility. So a chance to take a deep breath and kind of assess not just where the Steelers are, but where everybody in the league is.
Yeah, and happy St. Patrick's to you, David.
Oh, yeah, and that.
David O'Todd.
Yes. We got some Scottish blood and some Welsh blood and some English blood. I don't know that I have a lot of Irish blood, but happy St. Patrick's Day.
Today you can refer to me as Dave O'Brien. I have a little bit of Irish mixed in with a lot of Polish in me. So speaking of Polish, should we start with previewing this Florida State-Maryland matchup?
The Florida State-Maryland matchup. I'm confused.
Oh, Lord, where have you been? The Mike Francesa interview?
Oh, right. Mike Francesa. Well, our Polish friends aren't going to like your Polish joke.
Hey, I am Polish.
Yeah, so you're allowed to make them, right? That's the rule.
Right, exactly.
For those who missed it, Mike Francesa was on previewing the tournament. He said, well, let's see how that matchup went this year, because he obviously forgot that Maryland 3 or 4 years ago moved to the Big Ten out of the ACC. So he just assumed Maryland and Florida State had played, and he hummed and hawed for 2 minutes while he looked it up, and then he didn't even admit that. He said, I forgot, I guess, or whatever. But it was some quality radio, a lot of dead air and a lot of humming and hawing.
Yeah, that one quote that he has, I forget what he said, something about, well, it could go either way. And it was painful to listen to, and he's not going to live that down for quite a while. But, yeah, I haven't watched much of the tournament. I think I looked at my bracket this morning. Evidently, I have predicted 74% right so far, whatever that means.
Okay. Well, speaking of 74%, that was kind of what we put the odds at Donta Hightower getting back to the Patriots, and it happened. And kind of the things have been coming out in drips and drabs over the last 24 hours about the deal. And I guess, Dave, the interesting stuff here is, first of all, when we got the original numbers for Hightower, 4 years and $43 million, everybody kind of said, okay, well, let's pump the brakes a little bit on that and see what it looks like. And what it looks like is those aren't the real numbers. As we figured, the real numbers for Hightower turned out to be something more along the lines of 4 years, $35 million with $17 guaranteed, which basically means they've guaranteed the first 2 years. There's a $10 million signing bonus. And on a guy like Hightower, a player of this skill level that you know, there's really no risk in guaranteeing the first 2 years. I mean, sure, he can get injured, but you don't really expect the performance to fall off a cliff. Whereas Lawrence Timmons, you know, 3 years older or whatever exactly it is, it's a little bit more risky. Maybe not a huge risk to guarantee 2 years, but you don't have any risk really guaranteeing 1 year. So that's the difference. There are $8 million in incentives, and I had a lot of people tweet me, Dave, as I'm sure you did, about, you know, well, maybe it's a risk to give a guy incentives because then he's going to worry about his stats and try to get more tackles or whatever. That's really not how incentives are structured in the contract. They're generally structured around percentage of snap. First of all, rostered on game day. If you're on the 53-man roster on game day, are you healthy? So you get there's a money incentive for that. There's percentage of snaps. And then kind of Pro Bowl, All-Pro, maybe playoff, Super Bowl-type thing incentives. So they're generally there are some personal incentives in terms of performance, but they're big picture stuff, Pro Bowl, All Pro, and then team incentives with playoffs and Super Bowl type stuff.
Yeah, and normally those game incentives, David, are related to being active on Sundays.
Right, right. Yeah. Right.
So generally, 40, you know, the 46 man, if you will, and then of course, as you said, Pro Bowl, whatnot, incentives and all like that. When those initial numbers came out, you know, I've done this long enough now that you never buy those initial numbers there. But even said that average yearly value, you know, I was like, man, I hope to God the Steelers weren't anywhere close to that. Now, when the kind of real numbers, if you will, came out, the 4-year $35.5 million, you know, that breaks down to an average salary of 8.875. That's more in line as to what probably it would have, you know, taken to have been the top bidder in there. Now, I had posted...
Well, it was more in line with what we thought. We thought the Steelers could get to 8.5. We thought that was reasonable.
Well, I stopped my bidding at 7.5. and that means absolutely nothing. But after going back and looking at his tape from last year, you know, I could have stomached the Steelers going that high, maybe even $8 million at the most there. But it's obviously, you know, it's you know, how close did the Steelers come to that? We don't know, but the Steelers have a history of not doing anything with incentives or anything along those lines. So, you know, I assume the Steelers were in it for quite a while on, when was it, Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever he was in town there. And then, of course, you know, there's since, you know, there was reports about the Jets really had the biggest money on the table. I think even Mike Florio on yesterday wrote that the Jets made an initial offer of $62.5 million over 5 years. But that after a physical, it became clear that the total dollars and, more importantly, the guarantees wouldn't ultimately get to the point where Hightower would accept it. So obviously we don't know the details involved in that. And, you know, whether or not this, you know, if they had concerns about the physical, is if they're just saying this after the fact to kind of save face, we don't know. You would think that the Steelers put Hightower through a physical as well, or would have, before he signed any type of a contract. And I know a lot of people are upset, you know, about Hightower, you know, not getting this thing done, but I'm not that frustrated. You know, like I said, if they could have gotten something done around the $7.5 million mark, David, yeah, you know, I could have stomached it. For the Steelers just to overbid to get a player, we all know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think this worked out as people expected. As you talked a little bit about the Jet stuff, I mean, obviously the physical, it's always kind of odd when somebody adjusts their contract based on the physical, because either he passed the physical and you think he's good to go, or he didn't, or maybe you just look at something that sees the beginnings of arthritis in a knee or something like that and figure that he's got, you know, 2 or 3 good years, not 4 or 5 good years. So maybe that's really what they were thinking in that situation. So look, the deal's done, and Dont'a Hightower is going to be part of the New England Patriots. The other big news, you know, there are a couple other things that have happened in the past 2 days. And, you know, you've heard me talk about Dontari Poe. I don't think ever realistically I thought there was a chance the Steelers would look at him. But once you go visit 3 teams, and there doesn't appear to be, well, there clearly isn't an acceptable offer on the table, then you start to wonder where the market is for the guy. And there are 2 questions in every contract, obviously. There's the question of term, the length of the contract, and then there's obviously the question of the dollars. And I started to wonder if Dontari Poe's going to be on a, you know, is he going to get offered a contract that's less than $5 million? Is he on a 1-year prove-it deal? And he goes down to Miami, and you think, ooh, you know, he inside with Ndamukong Suh, and you got some of the guys on the outside that they have, all of a sudden, that would be an interesting pairing. And I figured they would get something done with the Dolphins. They didn't, but it turns around 24 hours later, he gets something done with Atlanta, and he gets – and this was, to me, it was surprising how – Dave, the term wasn't surprising, a 1-year deal. And as I say, there's never a bad 1-year deal for a team, never a bad 1-year deal. No such thing as a bad one-year deal. So, but he got $8 million with incentives that apparently can reach $10 million. So he's getting, you know, he's getting real value for it, but he obviously didn't get extended value. And he gets in there with Atlanta, with Jarrett, who had 3 sacks in the Super Bowl. You know, that'll help Dante Fowler on the outside. So I think it's a really nice signing for the Falcons to add, you know, another quality football player to that team. They didn't really have a need there, but, you know, you look at it and say we can get a good player and we don't have to worry about the longer term future. So I thought he was an interesting case here in free agency this year.
Most definitely. It makes you kind of wonder about these big guys inside. You said Dante Fowler, you meant Vic Beasley, right?
I mean, Vic Beasley, obviously Fowler in Jacksonville. He's loving life with all the defensive guys they signed as well. But yes, I did mean Vic Beasley.
I don't want people to start having Mike Francesa moments there.
Yeah, there we go. Francesa, then get the name wrong.
How do you say Mike's last name?
Francesa.
Francesa. Okay. Look, he'll be put to use there in Atlanta. That's for sure. You start to wonder about these big guys, right? Inside, if you know.
Hankins is done, right?
Right. You know,
snacks.
And whether or not these guys can stay on the field all the time. I mean, we'll see what happens with Poe there in Atlanta. But, if they had the salary cap space, and I don't know where they are as far as cash to cap, as far as the floor goes over the four-year period. You know, some of these teams have to spend money. We saw Cleveland do it, right? You got to spend the money to spend the money sometimes, even if it means buying a draft pick. So, it's good to – look, I like Dontari Poe coming out of Memphis. That year, but it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs are able to move along without him as well. What else?
Pierre Paul just got came across the wire here. He was franchised. He and the Giants reach a 4-year deal. So.
And we also talked about Connor Baldwin, I think, on the last podcast. He signed with the Rams, reunited with Wade Phillips. I think I told you the other day that probably makes the most sense for him. And I said that I thought his price tag would still be a little bit high, even at his age. And then I think the initial report I saw was something around $6 million. So.
Right.
That would
again,
have been,
again a 1-year deal, so teams limit their risk.
Right, and once again, you know, for that price and for what his role would have been potentially in Pittsburgh, you know, I just didn't see that as an option there. So we're starting to get down, you know, as you said, kind of at the top of the podcast there, the bulk of free agency now, you know, over 1 week into the new year now is pretty much over. You're going to still have these tricklings of signings come in. Had a few more cornerbacks go off the board on Thursday.
Why don't you recap our Dallas corners or back into the AFC?
Yeah, who is that? Claiborne went. Carr. Yeah, Carr went.
Ravens.
To the Ravens. I'm trying to remember who was the kid Butler signed with the Colts. Re-signed with the Colts, I think, this morning or yesterday. He was one of the ones that I think Pro Football Focus had at the top of his list as well, or their list as well too. So I'm trying to pull up right now my list of the best available ones that I posted on Twitter according to PFF. Yesterday.
I got that if you want it.
Yeah, why don't you start reading them all? Okay, Darius Butler, he's the one that re-signed, I think, with the Colts. Now, that leaves, at this moment, according to Best Available to Pro Football Focus, Nickel Roby Coleman, who I've written and talked about a lot since his release from the Bills. Deshaun Sheed, who I think, isn't he coming off of surgery or something?
I don't know. I do know Sheed's one of the bigger guys. That's what I've got for you.
He had successful ACL surgery in January, it looks like. So, you know, it's going to probably be a while for him. Brandon Flowers, you know, is over 30 and coming off that injury season last year that had the couple of concussions involved. Leon Hall, who's like, I don't know, 30. How old's Leon Hall now?
100.
Yeah. 32 right now for Leon Hall is his age.
Brandon Carr does turn 31 in May. So, you know, he's not a kid.
And then behind Leon Hall on their list is a guy I've talked a lot about, Altron Werner. Sterling Moore, who a guy the Steelers had in for a free agent visit a couple years ago. And then Darrell Revis is after that. And those were the top ones. So, I mean, we're down in that in the bottom of the barrel for sure at this point when it comes to free agent cornerbacks.
Okay, so let's get the Darrell Revis thing out of the way one last time. So here's the deal. I don't know if it's being reported, but somebody suggested the Steelers would be willing to move Sean Davis to corner if they could get Darrell Revis. That's just, I mean, it's just 100% couldn't be more false. Steelers are not moving Sean Davis to corner, period. And they're not moving Sean Davis to corner, period, to make room for Darrell Revis. So at safety, it's just not happening. So that's for starters. Second is, there's been a lot of, I think there's been some confusion because it's been reported differently in a couple of places about the offset language in Darrell Revis's contract. The Jets released him. He's owed $6 million. And there were some people out there reporting that if he signed any contract, the Jets would be off the hook. Dave, I think the understanding is that it's a straight offset. So if Darrell Revis basically wants to play, and he's not going to get more than $6 million from somebody, which I don't think any team in the NFL is going to give Darrell Revis more than $6 million. Basically, they just stick it to the Jets. So you see, you play for the minimum, and then the Jets make up the difference between the minimum and $6 million. And why wouldn't you, right? I mean, you know, the Jets, it actually, even though you're sticking it to the Jets, it does the Jets a favor because at least they get relieved of the minimum worth of the contract. So basically, to me, it sounds like he's available to every team. If he wants to play, every team in the league can sign him for the minimum. And maybe there's a little bit of a bidding war between teams, but that's, you know, nobody's still going over $6 million. So you can get a cheap Darrell Revis and take a look at him, and then the Jets are going to pay him. So it's just a question of whether teams are interested. And look, I think every team has a responsibility, just if you're looking at that position, to make the phone call. Now, do I think Revis plays in the league this year? I don't know. I wouldn't put it much over 50% that he plays in the league. Do I think he plays for the Steelers? Well, look, if you've never been to Pittsburgh, don't understand. Literally, to go to the Steelers offices, the Steelers door and the Panthers door are side by side. The building is kind of split in half. You walk in the door, you walk in one side or you walk in the other side. And so the coaching staffs know each other. I'm sure Revis has been back 100 times since he's, you know, left, graduated. So I'm sure he knows Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert. I'm sure their agent they will have a discussion. And if you can have Darrell Revis at $1 million, do you have the conversation? Of course you have the conversation. And from there, you know, I'll leave it in their hands to evaluate, you know, whether he really is 10 pounds lighter and nutrition's going to make a difference. But that's the background kind of, Dave, as I understand it. I hope I got it right in the way you understand it, in terms of where Darrell Revis, and obviously with all the charges dropped, you wouldn't expect any, even though the NFL hasn't cleared him, you wouldn't expect any further kind of punishment from the league.
I tell you, the way Mike Florio wrote it up with the offsets over a week ago sure was confusing, and it made it sound...
And it was different than what I just said.
And it made it sound like, you know, the Jets get off the hook completely if he signs elsewhere, is the way it did
sound that way. I agree.
And then of course you go read, you know, a couple other places, over the cap and all like that, a little bit different, interpretation. I'm trying to get a hold of Joel Corey, my buddy, former NFL agent, to get, you know, specifics on that. Let's assume that it is, as you described, and as I would describe as well, too, where it's a dollar for dollar really offset. In other words, the Jets get out from underneath whatever he signs for somebody with somebody else. In other words, you know, he's going to make $6 million one way or the other. It just all depends on who pays what at that point. So let's assume that he's going to make $6 million. Would you sign Darrelle Revis for $1 million?
Sure. Would I bring him to camp for $1 million? Absolutely. I you know, my downside is, you know, some kind of guaranteed money and a couple $100,000 of guaranteed money or something, and take a look. If, you know, if I've had a chance to give him a physical, sit him down, you know, have a 2-hour meeting with him, and I feel like he's passed that test, absolutely I'd bring him in. Because it's a position you don't have depth, that's a zero cap hit. It's a guy who has played well, and if you just decide in the middle of August, you give him the release as early as, you know, you've made the determination that he can't play, then you shake hands and you move on. It's a zero downside move to me if that's your cost.
In short, if it is as we just described, the financials and all, well then, yes, I would agree with you. I mean, either he has it or he doesn't, and you would find that out in training.
In 2 weeks.
Or on through the off-season program and into training camp and all like that. Darrelle Revis at $1 million, especially, I mean, even if you guaranteed $1 million, where's the risk at, you know, I guess, especially if all this legal stuff is behind him, which it appears, you know, he had those charges dropped this past week. So appears to bode well for him as far as any problems with the league and that kind of stuff. And then now it goes back to his play last year. You know, do I want Darrelle Revis as a safety? Absolutely not. If you sign him, it would be the intention of him playing cornerback and cornerback only. He's not going to give you anything on special teams at this point. So, you know, you're basically rolling the dice and saying, okay, for $1 million, we want to see if you can start and help us win a Super Bowl. So if it's as we just all laid out there, then okay, I could see it. Now Jason Lockenfora had something out there on Twitter, I believe it was yesterday, saying that it's not going to happen with the Steelers. He didn't go into specifics why or anything like that. And I think Mike Florio had something on that, you know, several weeks ago. Now, then there's Peter King that all along, Peter King says that, you know, Pittsburgh's the likely landing spot for Darrelle Revis, and he thinks that'll ultimately happen. So, you know, what's the hurry right now?
Yeah, there obviously no hurry. The only hurry would be that, you know, if you're competing with somebody else just to get them signed. But, you know, I would think if all things are equal on the other side of things, Darrelle Revis would sign with the Steelers. So, you know, that's how I would look at it as well. If I kind of believe what he said, it would be kind of a dream come true. Look, he's from Aliquippa. He played at Pitt, and he's had pretty much as much success as you can have in the NFL. Did he win a Super Bowl with the Pats, Dave? I'm trying to remember. He did, right?
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, he has done everything you can do. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if he's been Defensive Player of the Year, but he's certainly been in the conversation a couple times. So, you know, if he's picking and choosing, and he's made a ton of money. So if he's picking and choosing, and I would think all things being equal, he'd pick the Steelers. So, you know, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. You just make the phone call if you're interested, and you get it done if you can get it done.
Super Bowl champ.
But it's still, I would put it at 25%. 20 to 20. Actually, you put most of these things at less than 20%. So let me put it at 20%.
Super Bowl champion with the Patriots and the one against the Seahawks. 7-time Pro Bowl selection. 4-time first team All-Pro, AFC Defensive Player of the Year in 2009. The reports, who was the one that said that, was it Rex Ryan? There was a recent report saying Rex played at an extremely, or that Darrelle played at an 200 and, what did he say, 200 and something pounds? 220 pounds, I think Rex Ryan had concerns about Revis playing at that weight or something last year, possibly. So, you know, if he got himself back in shape, you know, for $1 million, yeah, I mean, it would be worth the gamble. And once again, but here's the thing too, he's not the most, you know, voracious tackler. he had some bad tape last year, you know.
That was awful. It was awful.
You know, as far as, you know, being beat and miscommunications in that secondary with the Jets. So, you know, we'll just sit and wait and see. You know, I would tend to put the percentage way down there with you as well, too. And people been asking me about him on Twitter, and I said I don't think it's going to happen. So we'll see.
Okay. Just on the note, you mentioned Darius Butler. I did see that somebody said the $3 million deal has incentives to 4.5, and he is going to move to safety. So interesting move. They Mike Adams left the Colts and went where did he go? Camp somewhere. I saw one of the maybe they couldn't have gone to Jacksonville, right? Because they already signed 100 guys. They're not allowed to sign anymore. But anyway, so maybe he's stepping in back at safety for the Colts.
Mike Adams went to the 49ers.
49ers, okay. And Dave, do any more conversation about Justin Hunter and the wide receiver situation? I mean, one of the guys we forgot to mention, or not we forgot, but we didn't mention Severin. What's his name? Cameron Severin, is that his name?
Yeah, Kanan Severin, yeah.
Kanan Severin, we didn't mention him when we were talking about the, you know, kind of if Martavis Bryant comes back, you've got seven receivers with NFL experience. Six played last year. Martavis Bryant obviously sat it out. That's seven. They kept Severin around. I mean, he's obviously practice squad eligible another year, but he'll be another name in the mix here. So, you know, the writing would seem to be on the wall for Kobe Hamilton, most likely, but it is a jammed receiver core. And, you know, if they were to draft a guy, well, all of a sudden, you know, you got more bodies than you can put on the roster.
It would make for a fun training camp, that's for sure. Immediately, you know, not long after we got off the podcast and Hunter was signed, sealed, and delivered, I put up some interesting comparable, you know, stats and measurables between Martavis Bryant and Hunter. And people immediately freaked out, and I think Martavis Bryant maybe saw it too and freaked out and posted something on Twitter saying, look at my tape. You know, something irked him about something somebody wrote or said, I guess, about Justin Hunter. But, you know, look, obviously the game differential, Hunter has played in 48 games, Martavis Bryant has played in 21. But if you were to throw the games played out, and if you had never seen a lick of tape, these guys look very comparable when you look at numbers. And, of course, numbers don't tell you the whole picture. But you can. The way I was going with that post was, look, this signing makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Justin Hunter's still young. He still has some speed to him. He can still catch, you know, he still can stretch the field. Not a lot of drops from what I've observed over his career so far. He's played with some, let's face it, some less quality quarterbacks. I have not seen the contract yet, but usually these one-year deals with the Steelers are the minimum salary benefit type deals. That means he's probably at best going to earn the minimum for his accrued years and at best an $80,000 signing bonus. So there's nothing at risk other than $80,000 should that end up being the case. There's, you know, I think I said this the other day, there's nothing not to like about the signing of Justin Hunter. Now, whether or not he makes the 53-man roster is a whole different, you know, animal question there, because as we talked, I think the other day, he better get ready to learn who Danny Smith is and see what he can do on possibly on special teams. But in short, and you laid it out there, there is a long line of receivers right now, you know, when it comes to the Steelers on that depth chart. And then, oh yeah, Todd Haley was at the Penn State Pro Day on Thursday talking to Chris Godwin.
Yeah, you had Mike and Kevin down watching Mike Williams run his, you know, his 40 that he ran around 4.5, and Daniel Jeremiah, of all guys, who I consider a friend and I think a great draft analyst, had Mike Williams falling all the way to 30 to the Steelers. I think that's highly unlikely on both counts, but I had not seen anybody kind of mock him that far down or mock him to the Steelers. So that was interesting. And Goodwin, you mentioned Godwin, you mentioned, you know, I still, I would be surprised and maybe slightly disappointed if the Steelers went receiver with one of those first four picks. I just think there are more pressing needs elsewhere. But again, you know, this is the date. You know, we talked about it on Wednesday. This is, we're almost a year, you know, exactly a year away from the time that Martavis Bryant got suspended. And, you know, you kind of every day we expect to hear the news that he's been reinstated. I'm not going to say what's the holdup, because we don't know that there is a holdup. There is a procedure. The Steelers, I'm sure, would like to have – I'm sure the Steelers will have that information in the next month, certainly before the draft. But, you know, we'll kind of see how things go, because if he's not reinstated, then that does bring that position completely into play for the draft.
And, you know, let's run down this depth chart once again as well, too, you know, especially when it comes to the wide receivers. All right. Antonio Brown, he should be a lock to make the 53, right?
I think he's going to make it.
I think he is, too. I'll put that at about 85% with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, you're leaning a little hard there. But, you know, let's call him – we'll say he's likely to make it.
All right, Eli Rogers.
He's going to be your starting slot receiver.
Yeah, it's hard to envision that not happening. And then, quite honestly, we get into a lot of gray area here, though, from here on out, right?
Kobe Hicks. Absolutely. I mean, if it's – you know, once Martavis Bryant's declared eligible, okay, you just you ink him in as obviously the other starting outside receiver with AB. But if that's it's still gray, and the rest of it's really gray.
You know, Kobe Hamilton, he is in no way, shape, or form a lock to make this roster. DeMarcus Ayers, I like the kid, but you know, don't. I would argue with anybody that wrote me and say I have written him in pen on the 53-man roster for 2017.
DeMarcus Ayers wants to make himself a lock for this roster. He better win the return job on both kickoff and punts. I mean, that'll guarantee him a job.
Who is Sammy Coates?
Sammy Coates was one of the best receivers in the NFL for 4 weeks of his career.
And that's, yeah, you know, a good deep threat, but obviously some concerns right now with him. So, you know, I don't know. Would you bet my house that he's going to be on the 53-man roster right now?
Well, you know, the answer to that is I probably would, because I'm willing to make a bet that I think is 75 or 80%, which I think it is, but it's not 100%. But I do think it's – I think of all the other guys, he is the most likely to make the roster.
And Darius Hayward.
Once you get past Antonio Brown and Eli Rogers, Sammy Coates, of guys currently on the roster, is next most likely.
And then Darius Hayward Bay. Really, it's probably better to list Darius Hayward Bay as special teams / wide receiver at this point. And it's really been that way since he arrived back in Pittsburgh. Darius Hayward Bay is a smart player. And, boy, if you can carve out a roster space for him because of his play on special teams, you try to do it. But in no way right now is he a lock. Kanan Severin, you know, bless his heart, injured last year. He's definitely on the outside looking in. And then they just signed Justin Hunter, as we covered. And look, they're not married to him either. And then you got a couple other bodies in Dez Stewart and Marcus Tucker on the 53-man roster. So is it – I guess where I'm going with this exercise is how out of the question is it that the Steelers could draft a wide receiver in, let's say, the first four rounds?
I think it's 100% dependent on Martavis Bryant's reinstatement. If he's reinstated, I wouldn't do it. If he's not reinstated, I would probably do it.
Right. And we didn't even mention Martavis in that rundown for Avi. I mean, obviously, if he's reinstated and keeps himself clean, he's going to be on the roster. No two ways about it. So I don't know. You know, my new mock drafts due anytime now, and I'm debating whether or not I want to put a wide receiver in there or not.
Fair enough. Makes sense to me. All right. So we've kind of covered all the news on the Steeler front and most of the free agency front. The quarterback situation around the league, it's still a little bit of a you know, there's the Tony Romo question, which has been a very odd drama because, there was the expectation that Jerry Jones really, he and Tony Romo have a great relationship and that he would do what's best for Romo, you know, as long as Romo wasn't going to be in the NFC East. Then the trade stuff came up, and now, neither Denver nor Houston wants to trade, give up assets for the contract. And obviously neither of them are, feel 100% uncomfortable going in with, on one side, Simeon and Lynch, on the other side, Tom Savage and I don't know who, Tom Savage and whoever. I mean, Houston's going to have to do something. Today we see the guy it surprised me has not gotten more interest or, hasn't landed somewhere yet is Josh McCown. Cutler's out there now. He's been tied to the Jets, but McCown's apparently visiting the Jets today. And if I'm the Jets and I'm totally rebuilding my roster the way I am, you jettison Revis and Mangold and DeBrickshaw Ferguson and about five other guys, Brandon Marshall. So you're not going to be good this year. You know that Bryce Petty and Christian Hattenberg maybe both stink. I mean, we haven't even seen Hattenberg, and he's not really even discussed as a possible starter. Sign Josh McCown for a year or two for, $5 million like the Browns did, and just, have him caretake the position till you figure it out. And if you're going to draft somebody this year or next year, you'll have a chance to draft one of those guys. But I'm a little surprised because I think he is, I think he's you've heard me talk about him. I think he's a capable guy, and he's a smart enough guy, and he's supposed to be a good mentor. So, and he's not going to be that expensive. If you're going to stink, why not just get a guy like Josh McCown?
Yeah, moving on from Ryan Fitzpatrick to McCown in New York.
It sounds like Geno's going across the street from the Jets to the Giants, Geno Smith.
Oh, wow. And didn't the Giants re-sign Josh Johnson?
They did, and that's a little, Steelers had he had a cup of coffee with the Steelers, right? Am I getting my Johnsons right?
Yeah, wasn't. hold on to your Johnson here, and I'll look. That Jared Johnson is who you're probably thinking of, right?
Yeah, way back. Well, Josh Johnson was with Tampa, and had that unbelievably bad game with Minnesota on Monday night.
Yeah, we got too many Johnsons here. I was a bit, obviously I haven't seen the numbers on the Josh Johnson deal, but you would think it's ultra cheap on top of that. With McCown, I think the best landing spot would be in Dallas, still.
Yep. That makes obvious sense. And in fact, that's what we thought was going to happen at the start of free agency.
And I suppose Romo is still technically a Cowboy, right?
Yep.
That can't last that much, longer, you wouldn't think. So, quarterback position's picked over at this point, right now. Did Chase Daniel,
He hasn't signed.
Yeah, he hadn't signed yet either. I don't know, maybe the Jets, you kicked the tires on that as well. So,
Hey, Steeler fans, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation over refinance, our buddy Craig Goxane from First Advantage Mortgage is your guy. A lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out our podcast listeners. You can call Craig Goxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399. Illinois residential mortgage licensee, equal housing lender.
Zach Brown had a visit with Oakland. That evidently didn't go well. I forget where I saw he might go next. Do you remember on seeing where he might?
Why do you think Zach Brown's not getting more interest than he is?
The only thing I can think of is maybe the price. I don't know. Maybe his agent has out there, what he's looking for, and teams are waiting for that to cool down. I mean, that's the only explanation I can come up with. Him and Hodges, and Minter's still out there too, isn't he?
Minter's out there.
The inside
Hodges is out there.
The inside linebacker for free agency right now. not good if you're an inside linebacker. I mean, this is a guy, and I've said it several times, talking about Brown. I mean, man, if you could get him on, you know, one of those three-year, you know, average $3 million a year, man, something where you could cut him out even after 1 year if you needed to. I sure would like that back there instead of Steven Johnson, you know, behind Vince Williams, because you know, I've stated several. I like Vince Williams, but you're not going to be able to play him in the same situations that you were going to be able to play Lawrence Timmons, you know, and expect an upgrade. Because I mean, go back to, you know, why did Vince Williams fall to the sixth round when he was drafted?
Well, he wasn't on my radar back then, so I don't have a good answer for
that. I picked him up right from the he had that big hit in the Senior Bowl practice, and that's when he came on my radar, and I even mocked him, I think, in that initial mock draft that year right after the Senior Bowl to the Steelers. Forget what round, fifth or sixth round, something like that. And then, you know, you go back and you look at his tape and what happened there. They pulled him off the field in obvious passing downs because, you know, he's in against spread offenses because he was a coverage liability. That hasn't changed, you know. I mean, he is a good down. He, you know, he's like Timmons. He's a good downhill linebacker, heavy hitter. You know, can cover some space, you know, when talking east-west. But still, I don't think you're going to be able to play Vince Williams 1,000 snaps.
I think that's fair. That's, you know, 60 snaps a game. I don't necessarily expect Vince Williams to play 60 snaps a game. So I don't have any problem with that assertion.
So either you need to get a linebacker that you can put out there, bless you, in those situations.
Excuse me.
Or you get one of those hybrid safety money backers. You know, you draft one of those guys and develop him. I'm just curious of what's going to happen between now and the draft at the inside, you know, at the inside linebacker position, because I don't think that they're comfortable. They can't be comfortable right there. God bless Tyler Matakavich. I mean, but, you know, he's not going to give you anything in coverage either. So
he was drafted in the sixth round. I know exactly why he was drafted in the sixth round.
So. I mean, he's a tackling machine, okay? I mean, he's always around the football, yes. But, I mean, you cannot put him in some of those situations, you know, against slot receivers and things like that, because he can't, those guys, him and Vince Williams just can't run with those guys. So why wouldn't you look at a guy like Zach Brown, I mean, or somebody comparable? I'm not as high as Minter as maybe I was, you know, when he was originally drafted. And I think the inactivity with him, even as, what was he? He was a former first round pick, wasn't he, Minter?
Feels like it.
Feels like he was too. I mean, and for a guy, yeah.
Out of Notre Dame?
Second round out of LSU. Minter was
LSU.
A second round guy. So
missed that one completely.
There was a lot of talk early on that he was a first round guy with him, and then the Cardinals got him in the second round. But I mean, here he is out there, in, you know, on the market right now, and it doesn't seem not like there's much. It says the Colts have had some interest in him. Heck,
and just speaking about it, yeah, you retweeted the tweet earlier. We didn't mention it. Derek Johnson took a big pay cut for this year to stay with the Chiefs. $1 million signing bonus, $1 million base salary. It says it cleared $4.25 million. So, you know, he's going to stick around, but you see what the market is. That's exactly that type of situation. Look, the guy's done it all, and this is probably his last season in the league. He wants to stay with Kansas City. Well, that's what it took. And obviously, you know, that's a very good comp to Lawrence Timmons. I mean, we're talking about the same amount of money. He took a cut to $2 million to stay with the Chiefs.
And I think we talked about this the other day, and I think Matthew wrote about it here yesterday, is at some point Sean Spence has to be enticing at a minimum deal again, you know? He's on the market right now. At least he has familiarity with what you're doing. He can play on special teams. He would give you another body to compete in training camp.
Yeah, is Sean Spence an upgrade on Tyler Matakevich or no?
I think against the pass he is, you know.
I would think if, you know, I don't know, it's hard to evaluate Sean Spence's athleticism today. You would think if he's, you know, if he's healthy, he's a better athlete. Is he a better football player? I probably can debate that.
Matakevich is a smart dude. And
that's what I'm saying. That's why I say better football player, debate it, because obviously Matakevich is an incredible – look, we talk about it, and I don't mean to, again, stereotype the white guys, but he's not the most athletic guy in the field. But the reason he led all of college, he won the Butkus Award at Temple, is because he's an incredibly smart football player. The reason the day he was drafted, all the Steeler coaches were gushing about him and saying – you know, we love what he does on the field. You love his production, is because he's a really smart football player.
Yeah, I guess in short, I'm still holding by my thoughts that I will be shocked if before the draft the Steelers don't add another free agent inside linebacker and another cornerback, even if they're minimum value guys, because I just don't think that they're – I don't think there's enough there right now Kevin Colbert likes to go into these drafts, you know, not absolutely having to be forced to take any one position. Now, there's not going to be any way around the outside linebacker position this year, for certain. Now, they tried to sign the kid from Green Bay, and that obviously fell through. But even so, that guy was at best a fringe roster guy there. So. I understand people being upset right now with the inactivity with free agency and with Hunter only being the guy that they signed. I am a bit surprised that Hunter is the only guy that they've signed to this point. You know, I didn't expect them to go hog wild and spend a lot of money, but by now I would have bet you that two or three free agents would have been signed, even if a couple of them were minimum salary guys. You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see what happens here. And I mean, we're still quite a ways away. You know, we're only 1 year and one day into the new league year. I still expect something to happen here. It won't be anything that we'll get on the air and have a breaking podcast about, I'm sure. But, man, we'll just go out there and give Altron Werner a 1 year minimum contract and give sign Zach Brown to a couple year, you know, $2-3 million contract, and then let's go draft some players.
You and I said we both have talked about Werner a fair bit, and you just wonder if his size at 5'10" is something that's going to make him, obviously makes him less attractive to everybody, but I would keep him from being signed by the Steelers as they look for bigger type guys. David, anything else on this St. Patrick's Day? Will you be roaming the strip and looking at college basketball?
I'll be roaming the stairs of my house here up and down to get a Diet Mountain Dew, but that's
as green as you're going to get.
Yeah, that's about as green as I'm going to get here. Trying to think what else has happened around the. I mean, man, you want to talk about a week into the new year. I mean, it really has. One thing that I sent something to Joel Corey. I'm waiting to hear back from him. You know, the Jets signed, who was it? Mike Pinnell, the guy who had the suspensions with the Packers, a big kind of nose tackle, defensive tackle guy. They signed him, I think, yesterday. And my immediate thoughts was, you know, they have that other young plugger over there in New York, and they also have Steve McClendon still on the roster there as well too. I asked Joe Corey if Steve McClendon has been paid his $250,000 roster bonus yet, because if not, you know, maybe there's a chance the Jets still decide to part ways with Steve McClendon. And oh boy, would I think it would be easy to get Steve McClendon back on a 1 year deal for a minimum. So now obviously if the Jets have paid McClendon that $250,000 roster bonus, even though it's not much, one would think that he's going to be around the rest of, you know, the rest of the offseason competing in training camp. But, you know, that's one of those things that caught my attention when that Pinnell signing came across the wire on Thursday there. But, I you know, look, whose pro day is today? Oregon State, I think, has their pro day today. The Clemson was yesterday. The Penn State was yesterday. I think we're still a few weeks away from pre-draft visitors coming in.
How about today? How about today at Eagles camp? They've got at Eagles headquarters. They've got Mike Williams, Dalvin Cook, and Leonard Fournette all coming in today.
Makes sense, right? They could still use
it's a busy day.
Yeah. And there wasn't there some talk about Jamal Charles possibly going to, you know, Philadelphia being an option for them?
Very well could have been. We talked about Eddie Lacy went to Seattle. We didn't talk about Latavius Murray going to Minnesota.
Yeah, I like that fit. I like that fit with him there. What did you think about the weight incentives that Seattle gave Eddie Lacy?
Good. I saw you tweet it yesterday. I got a chuckle out of it as you did.
Yeah, that was quite interesting as well. Remember all the talk between Le'Veon Bell and Eddie Lacy when it was draft time? people thinking the Steelers made the wrong decision there. I think the Steelers made the right decision there for sure with Eddie Lacy. And you still have to wonder about all that weight and, you know, his ability. You know, he's been banged up.
What Pete Carroll say? I want him big.
Yeah, Oh, Pete Carroll said that about Lacy?
Yeah, he said he wanted him big.
I don't know why he put that weight incentive on, or, you know, weight clause in his contract then. But even then, it was only like to lose what? 10? What was the.
Not losing that much, right?
Yeah, not losing that much. It's like wanting him to get down to 245 or 235?
I jokingly said last week when, you know, he had visited Seattle and then he was going to go visit Green Bay. And I said, what are they going to do? Weigh him? but maybe that's exactly what they did.
Oh boy, the fun season's about over here, I think, when it comes to free agency. All right, I think that's got us, right? I mean, Jarvis Jones' contract came across this morning with the Cardinals. It looks like $2.25 million total. Looks like he had some per game active bonuses involved and a little bit over $1 million incentive there. So he, you know, he came in well under the, it looks like the $3 million price tag on a 1 year deal with Jarvis Jones there. So, all right, we'll see if there's anything to talk about on Monday. And if not, maybe Alex will join me and we'll talk some draft or something like that. But
fair enough. Hey, Steeler fans, the mortgage process sometimes can be more challenging than spelling Barkevius Mingo. Let our buddy Craig Oxand guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Indianapolis. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor, Craig Oxand, a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxand today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, David, enjoy your full day of basketball today, and you know, we may or may not get after it together on Monday. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button, upper right navigational bar. And David, I hope you have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely. Same to you and all our listeners. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.